When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and our friends from Madison Firefighters Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and Madison Teamsters Local 695. Joining us now, former State Representative Jeff Smith, who is now a candidate for the State Senate in the 31st State Senate District in Northwest Wisconsin. That is a seat being vacated by Kathleen Vinehout, who's running for governor. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show, and tell us a little bit why you're running.
Yeah, thanks, Sly. I appreciate being here.
And obviously, you obviously have my support as well. So,
yeah, appreciate that too. I'm running because it's not quite the a sudden decision. It's something like I've never left the arena, so to speak. We've had a group of legislators who have taken our place, who have been virtually invisible, at least in western Wisconsin. They're not responsive, and as if I was still their representative. And I have been tried to be a good leader in this area, because truth is, my generation has been screwing things up for a couple of decades, and I do not want to be remembered as part of a generation that didn't turn things around and make life better for the generations behind us, which happens to be two daughters that I have of my own.
You're a businessman, correct?
I was, and I sold my business 2011. So okay. I, for 30 years, I had a small business, window cleaning business in western Wisconsin.
So you live in the swingiest of swing areas. I mean, it's the 31st Assembly District, Senate District is always very close. In 2016, western Wisconsin, which has always been a swing area, there were numbers, I couldn't believe my eyes the next morning when I looked at what happened in some of those counties that had been always relatively close or even a little blue. Democrats just had terrible numbers. I mean, they just literally collapsed. Can you tell me what happened?
How much time do you have, Sly? we were all in shock, I think, across the country as well as across the state. Of course, western Wisconsin has been under a microscope ever since then, because, as you've alluded to, there were counties over here in my district who had voted for Obama twice, and then in 2016 suddenly and shockingly voted for Trump. And so there's been a lot of articles written, a lot of interviews. We've had people up here visiting with me, as I am now an organizer in western Wisconsin, and we have just run through all sorts of analysis. What's really been a silver lining to all of this is the fact that almost immediately after that election, I would have people come walking into my office on a daily basis whom I'd never met before, which are the best kind, and say, you know, I've been sitting on the sideline too long, and now I realize I should have been doing something. What can I do? And it has really invigorated, I think, a progressive movement in western Wisconsin. People just took it for granted that we were always going to have a progressive state. And now you're seeing it in to the north of my district. We just had a special election in January that elected Patty Schachner, a seat that had been held by the Harsdorffs for 20-some years. So we're seeing a change already in western Wisconsin, which could really tell or have a lot to do with what happens in the state of Wisconsin.
Do you think that had in the adjacent district to the other district that's adjacent to yours, do you think that's why Senator Terry Moulton decided not to run for reelection, the Republican?
Well, you know, honestly, I think that Terry Moulton has reached an age and a time in his life when he just was not ready to put up with what it takes to run for office anymore. It's a lot of work, and And it could very well have something to do with it. I know there's other things, other factors. We've seen Jarko, who lost that special election for state senate, decide not to run for his assembly seat and face another woman running in that district, and Kim Butler. So I do think there's some of that concerns by Republicans that woke them up or alerted them to maybe this isn't the year to jump in the fray.
What are you hearing when you're knocking on doors? What are people saying to you? Some of those people that might have voted for President Obama and President Trump.
I would say that they're happy to see that people are running for office. First of all, people that such as myself who are different than the leaders that they have had seen for a while. That I think we're hearing. I'm getting thanked for getting back into it. I think people are really ready. But on the other hand, let's not forget that we are still a gerrymandered state.
Right.
And there are people who have voted for a long time, one way, no matter what, and don't pay much attention to the facts. And we have to do all we can to work hard to get the facts out there and to give them a reason to vote for someone else.
The farm economy, obviously milk prices low. What are you hearing about that?
Well, this happens to be an issue that has been near and dear to me over the last couple of years, particularly as an organizer for Citizen Action. We have been on the forefront in the fight against CAFOs. And CAFOs are the concentrated animal feeding operations, or factory farms, that have been really destroying the farm economy. And, of course, the issue we have starts with clean water. And if people aren't aware of that issue connected to factory farms, it's how much manure you spread in one particular area when you get 6,000 or 8,000 animal units in one area compared to normally maybe 200 to 300. You're suddenly putting a lot of nitrates into the ground and into the water.
Ann Groves Lloyd, who's running for the assembly down here in South Central Wisconsin in the special election, the Democrat, she is her first TV ad is all about water and clean water for farming.
You know what? Sly, what's the most beautiful thing about it is I call it the great uniter. When we go and participate in county board hearings or town board hearings, you'll see a huge crowd come in for this issue when it relates to farming and water. And I always make sure to stand up and point out to everyone in the room that they need to look around the room and think about who they're standing next to, because they may or probably did not vote the same way in the last fall election. And they cannot allow the politicians and the outside groups to divide them in the future, when in fact they're all here together for what's really important, and that's their water. I am so excited about that issue being the uniter for all of us and make people realize that they are not that far apart when it comes to what really matters.
What have the Republicans in the legislature and the governor done that has really put water in danger?
They weakened the rules. They've absolutely weakened the DNR. That's well documented, and so it's very difficult to enforce what we do have left in rules. But another part of that is the actual weakening or permitting, all clearly permitting way too many high capacity wells, along with the fact that they've really been. I'll give you my example of a CAFO up in our area that we went after. And despite the fact that we were able to bring in landowners who were listed on their plan to spread manure, who testified that they did not know they were going to be spreading manure on their land. They did not ask them ahead of time to get on that list. So they had to go back to the drawing board, so to speak, which really frustrates us, because it should have been, well, if you've got a factory farm that you cannot trust, who are just going to lie and put people's names on there without telling them, you should just deny the permit. But instead, they gave them three chances until they finally found enough people, and of course, actually, just like almost an hour away from their farm, that allow them to put their name on their plant. And this is what's happened to our DNR and our state, and the way that the legislators have taken over, as far as instead of protecting our environment and protecting the citizens, they are only interested in how much money they can make.
Have they also cut back on having agents in each county? Is there an issue with the services the state provides farmers?
Yeah, actually, that's right. Thanks for bringing that up, Sly. They've cut the funding for land conservation agents. So that's an actual issue all by itself, trying to restore that funding. So we have those. They are very important professionals, and that's something people have to start remembering too. We want the professionals, the scientists, to be under our DNR umbrella, so that we actually are protected from the corporations who are only there for profit and not for our protection.
Is fracking still an issue?
It's yes, it is again. It did, of course, wane for a while, but it's coming back, as you know. And they're holding job fairs and hiring up here again, so it's a concern as well. And so when you consider the farms that are coming in, and we've actually had some hog farms now coming up here from Iowa looking at or asking for permits. My group is trying to get a moratorium locally, but also maybe statewide on this factory farms. But when you add to it the sand mining, and again, they use millions of gallons of water, add chemicals to it. We've had leaks from their ponds that they're supposed to have holding ponds for that water, and it poisons the water as well. And so it's really a serious issue, and it's unfortunate that people get caught up in the jobs argument, when in fact mining of all types are temporary, and eventually mining goes away and people are left, and the economy is left broken in the community.
And you live in arguably one of the most beautiful districts in the state. I'm sure you're partial to it.
I absolutely believe that.
It's pretty good looking district. What about the scouring of the land?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What about the scouring of the land, the beauty, affecting the tourism?
Yeah. If you've never driven the River Road, which runs from Prescott, actually, all the way down to Prairie du Chien, along the river.
Highway 35? Is that Highway 35?
Yep.
Yeah.
Highway 35. It has been, not just by us, but nationally recognized as the most beautiful drive in America. And it is something now that you have to avoid the big trucks that are coming through constantly. You are seeing the destruction of the hills that make it the most beautiful drive in America. It's a sad case. If we don't do something soon, we will lose what is really a great asset to not only Western Wisconsin, but all of Wisconsin.
So is all this stuff starting to accumulate? You know, Governor Walker has won this area over the last 8 years. Is this stuff, do you think it's accumulated? He's accumulated more baggage now than he's had in the past. And one more that I could toss in there, and I'm supporting Dana Walks for governor, and he's always telling me about how the governor has mishandled chronic wasting disease. Is that in the mix as well?
Well, it could be, but even just this morning in the news, Governor Walker now is actually visiting Dana's proposal, but not, of course, giving Dana credit for that.
Of course not.
So now it's going to be a Republican idea that will help study and cut down on the CWD issue. And in my district, we have a county, Buffalo County. There is practically no other industry left in Buffalo County outside of deer hunting. How farmers are actually making it is renting out their land for deer hunting, which is world-renowned whitetail deer hunting in Buffalo County. And if something like CWD becomes bigger issue than it already is, there goes that economy as well. And that is really something that needs to be addressed and needs to be looked at. But when you your original question is how walkers
accumulated baggage. Yeah,
accumulated baggage. I would suggest rural schools are at risk.
Well, this,
because of the.
Why don't we take a pause there? Then why don't we'll pick it up from there. We'll continue our conversation with former state representative and now state Senate candidate Jeff Smith at SlysOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who is going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com. We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by local sponsors like Madison Computer Works, S&R Remodeling, St. Vincent DePaul, and the Axley Law Firm. All right, so let's pick it up from where we were talking about the governor's accumulated baggage. Rural school districts. I know that there have been a lot of referendums throughout the state of Wisconsin trying to fund schools, but there's also some school systems that are merging and are disappearing. What say you and what's going on in Northwest Wisconsin?
It is something that has been on top of my concerns since the day I first got into politics almost 20 years ago. School funding issue in rural districts, but it's always been difficult to get people's attention on that. You know, their school district was getting by. We have great teachers and administrators who do all they can with what the resources they get to make sure the students are not affected. But that's changing. And for the first time a few years ago, knocking on doors in tiny villages and school districts, instead of me suggesting school funding was an issue, the people that came to the door were suggesting it to me, that they were concerned that their school would be shut down and could not exist any longer. So when regular people at the doors start to recognize that, that's a good thing. At the same time, it means it's actually affecting their kids and them, and it's way past time to actually take a look at that and make sure that we are not hurting our rural school districts like we have. But yet we have a governor who this time has put more money back into schools and pretended like he actually cared about our public school system. And I hope it doesn't work. You know, it's just like the $100 a kid bribe for your vote. It doesn't work, but we need voters to realize that this is not an administration, and these are not legislators who have been in there leading the way the last 8 years. Who really care about public education? They only care about profits for private.
We've seen this bubbling up a huge rally in Milwaukee for teachers. We've seen it around the country in Oklahoma, in Kentucky, in West Virginia, Arizona, even a state like Colorado. The governor's always done a masterful job, and frankly, Tommy Thompson did this as well, where they pit teachers against parents. And, you know, mm-hmm. obviously the whole Act 10 fight, they tried to scapegoat it all on teachers. Well, now we have a teacher shortage. Do people bring up that battle and that divide?
Well, the psychology of this PSY is, from what I have always seen, is that parents love their own teachers. And for some whatever reason, even if they go after them as a whole, they love their kids' teachers. Well, they're not the problem, but they don't quite always make that connection that mm-hmm. when you're going after all teachers, you're going after the ones that you know too. And just because you're also hearing these awful things on Fox News or wherever, whatever you listen to, it affects all your teachers, including your own. So generally you hear from people, oh, no, I really like my kid's teacher. And frankly, I'll tell you, my wife's a teacher, and she's retiring this year, and she's retiring too early. And it's for her, in her mind. She wishes she could teach longer, but it's just not in the cards for considering what they've been doing, what they might be doing in the future to our future as far as retirement and health care and all of those things.
Let me play the first TV ad Scott Walker has run. I'll play the audio portion of it. He is obviously going to have a lot of money in this election. Here we go.
I'm the kind of person that runs towards danger, not away from it. I went to technical college to become a first responder, and now I'm a paramedic and a firefighter. I have a chance to save lives every day. Governor Walker is helping people like me get the training we need.
More people are working in Wisconsin than ever before, and our Fast Forward program is providing funding so people can get those better jobs that require new skills. And people like Shayla, well, she can help save lives.
He always runs good ads. He's good on TV. He's a good politician. But he's cut tech funding. And as far as paramedics mm-hmm. and firefighters, I will tell you, since everybody talks about that their collective bargaining rights were protected under Act 10, the insurance portion was not. And we have a crisis with firefighters and paramedics and police officers having to pay huge deductibles on their insurance now, making insurance almost unaffordable. The city of La Crosse really went after their firefighters. That isn't being good to firefighters or paramedics. And he cut tech funding, and yet he runs these ads.
Well, let's just face it. From the very beginning, you could go back to not accepting the Medicare expansion money from the federal government. All of the money that could be into our system in Wisconsin could be lowering the rates and helping people afford health care from all walks of life. But yet we have this really misguided political thinking, that you don't want to take this money from the federal government, even though it's ours and it's still sitting there waiting for us. That's one option. You know, we also have a crisis in home health care for much of the same reasons, because we're cutting and cutting and cutting, and you know, they can brag all they want about a low employment rate or unemployment rate, but when people are making $8 or $10 an hour and then have to get a second job as well, that might have something to do with why we have a low unemployment rate, but people are struggling to actually pay the bills.
Let me ask you one more question. What do people say about the Foxconn money, the money that's going to this Taiwanese corporation in southeast Wisconsin?
Well, you sure don't hear any politicians bragging about it up here. It's absolutely, from last polling I saw, 75% of our citizens in northwestern Wisconsin think it's the worst deal ever. And it has no positive impact on our part of the state, that's for sure, but our dollars are going to pay for it. There's absolutely good evidence out there that if we could have spent, or we would spend that money on Wisconsin businesses, we would be so much better off, and we wouldn't have to weaken our environmental laws at the same time, and we would be all about Wisconsin and our citizens. Why are we bringing in a company like that to one sector down in southeastern Wisconsin, polluting the wetlands and Lake Michigan and bringing in Illinois workers to work that factory, but spending our tax dollars while small businesses all across Wisconsin can't get a break at all.
Well, and they didn't help the paper industry. These are good union jobs in the Fox Valley and the upper Wisconsin River Valley, which is terrible. I mean, a little tiny bit of money in a paper fund to help these factories move to brown paper and upgrade, a little bit of money there would have gone miles, but they didn't do it. Jeff Smith, thank you for coming on sliceoffice.com. If people want to help you, how do they go about it?
They can go to togetherwithjeff.com and donate there. They can also find out more about me there. And I sure appreciate the opportunity, Sly. You're a good man, and keep fighting the good fight.
We will do that. Jeff Smith with us today at sliceoffice.com.
Sliceoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.